بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and جزاكم الله خير for joining us for day 19 and 20 of Little Ramadan Reminders. As you've noticed, for the past week or so, we've been having one video every 2 days. But inshallah, for the rest of Ramadan, we will return to the one video a day for the last 10 days or however many days that we have. We will have one video per day. And today, and for the next video or two, maybe even three, we will be picking up off of the topic of ijtihad and talking about some elements of ijtihad or some areas related to ijtihad where there seems to be some misunderstandings of the practical application due to our environment. And we'll go into the details of how the environment has affected our perception and where the errors have occurred. And some of these topics include maqasid al-sharia, which are the higher objectives that Islam aims to achieve when applied on a societal level, and al-masalih al-mursala, which is the benefits that Islam brings when the ahkam of Allah Azza wa Jalla are applied, and the topic of shura, which is today's topic, which is seeking, consulting people for their opinion, how to deal with societal issues and the problems of the people, and so on. Linguistically, the word shura means to seek the opinion of people. And it's very similar to the shari'i meaning, which is to seek the people's opinion on matters of their expertise, or matters which they have experience in, or wisdom in, and so on. And even linguistically, people will find in the Arab world, people will refer to a traffic light as ishara. So they will look at it as an indicator. So essentially shura and mashura and ishara and so on, these things are all, you're looking for an indication, you're looking for advice, you're looking for direction. And so you're asking people for advice. Now there are a couple of things that are very important to understand with regards to shura. First and foremost, this hukm of shura has nothing to do with the process of ijtihad. The process of ijtihad is seeking the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not seeking the opinion of people. So the only way to seek the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to refer back to the text of the Quran and in the Sunnah, and to extract the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those texts and only from that particular process of ijtihad. Whereas shura is where you seek the opinion of people on a particular topic. And we'll go into details about how that actually is practically applied. But this is the first point, that shura has nothing to do with the process of legislation. And all the evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah all indicate this one common theme: when it comes to seeking the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you only refer back to the Quran and Sunnah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to legislate. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, in al-hukmu illa lillah. The right to legislate belongs exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. And if you have any dispute on any issue, refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. Not to shura, not to that you discuss amongst yourselves. No, if you have any dispute, you first and foremost go to Allah and His Messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, you implement it, and whatever he tells you to abstain from, then you abstain from it. And so all the evidences, if you look throughout everything related to matters of hukm, Allah Azza wa Jalla says you refer back to Allah and His Messenger only and alone. So the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only taken from the text of the Quran and from the Sunnah. Now, where does shura fit in all of this? Once you've determined the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can seek people's opinion on matters that Islam has left open and halal within the practical means on how to apply the hukm. Or if the hukm is already that it's permissible, you can do whatever you want in this, then you can go seek the opinion of people on how to apply it. Now, one area of confusion that exists is in terms of matters of ruling. And this is where you find a lot of discussion going on, people saying that the ruling system of Islam is shura, and that the shura is democracy. And you find all this, it's a bit of a mess, really, when you go through it. And so, to clarify this point, first of all, the hukm of shura is that it is a recommendation. وَشَاوَرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, as the ayah says, that commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask people for their opinion. The ayah simply says, seek their opinion. It's not an obligation, it's a recommendation. And the indicator that it's a recommendation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Once you've made your final decision, then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and proceed. So the indicator is that it's up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the end to make his final decision. So you can seek people's opinion, but you make your final decision, depending on what you've judged to be best. So when it comes down to the hukm of shura, shura is a recommendation for the ruler, for the khalifa, to seek the opinion of people. So when it comes to the matters that are halal and mubah for him to go and seek opinion on, if he commits to seeking their opinion and implementing their opinion, then it becomes obligatory upon him to implement what the people say. So if he goes to the people and says, should we build a road through this particular city or should we not build a road through this particular city? And the people say, no, we want to maintain the city as it is, then he's obligated to take that opinion. But when it comes to if he's trying to determine if something's halal or haram and everyone says, no, it's halal, and he's determined that it's haram, then he's not allowed to seek the opinion of people means nothing in this particular situation. And that's the primary contrast between these two issues, is that shura is only in the realm of the mubah, only in the realm of the halal, not in the realm of determining the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the confusion that exists with regards to democracy, then this is a really, really big mess essentially amongst ummah, but it's primarily due to a shallow assessment of similarities between shura and democracy. So what's happened is that Muslims see that, well, in democracy, people's opinion is taken, and in Islam, in shura, people's opinion is taken, and therefore shura is democracy. It's the same thing. This is completely wrong. Anybody who's taken any form of basic political science course or open any book that discusses political theory and so on, you'll find that when it comes to a legislative system or a political system, there are two elements of it that have to be identified to identify what type of a system is, whether it's a monarchy or a theocracy or a dictatorship or whatever. These two points are who has the authority, meaning who has the authority to elect the ruler or to put the ruler in place, and then you have and who is sovereign or what is sovereign, which is who's the final authority in what is law, who's the final legislator. And that's why you'll even hear the word the sovereign. People used to refer to the queen back in the days when the queen was the authority or the king was the authority. They would call them the sovereign, because the king or the queen would have the final say in what is law. If they set off with their head, that person is dead. They cut his head off. That's just it. It's as if it's for us, it's the same as Rasulullah ﷺ giving a command. For them, the sovereignty belongs to the queen in a monarchy. In a democracy, sovereignty belongs to the people. So the people are the final legislator. So the majority opinion is law, and the majority opinion of either those elected representatives or the majority opinion of the masses. Usually in a representative democracy, it's the represented or the representative officials that have been elected, the majority of them. And that's why you have to have a majority government to have a major sway. You see, we know the details of these things for anyone who studied the political systems within the West. And so democracy is a system where sovereignty belongs to the people, and authority, so the right to elect the rulers, also belongs to the people. In contrast, Islam says that authority belongs to the people. So the people have the right to elect their rulers, to elect the Khalifa, as Rasulullah ﷺ said in many ahadith, where he tells us to give bay'ah to the Khalifa for the Ahl al-Hal wal-Aqd, to elect, to choose the ruler and so on. But sovereignty belongs exclusively to Allah Azza wa Jal. The final source of law, the final say in law, are the texts of the Quran and Sunnah. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where the defining line appears between democracy and Islam. Democracy says that human beings are the final authority in legislation and the final authority in choosing who applies the legislation, whereas Islam says that Allah Azza wa Jal is the only source of legislation and the final say, so he's the sovereign, and the people are the ones who get to elect who they want to implement the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why shura has absolutely nothing to do with democracy. They're two completely different sources of they're two completely different concepts. Where in democracy, it's a system where human beings legislate, whereas in shura, you're just seeking advice of people on some practical elements of how to apply a particular ruling or how to manage a particular area of research and development or technology and science and medicine and architecture and so on. And that's all it is. And therefore, this concept that Islam is democracy and so on, we really need to abandon these little ideas, these really shallow ideas. There's any depth of understanding of the two systems quickly will bring about a clear understanding that these are two completely contradictory systems, and democracy has nothing to do with Islam. And let's not forget, democracy predated not only Islam but also Isa alayhi salam. And did Isa alayhi salam speak about democracy? No, he didn't. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam or the Sahaba speak about democracy? No, they didn't. Okay, somebody might say, well, they never came across it. Well, what about the mutakallimun, the theologians who ended up analyzing from the Mu'tazila and then forward? All these Muslims who came across the Greek books of philosophy and they came across democracy, all of them entirely rejected it as a concept because it's man-made legislation. They knew this, and we should know this as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us clarity on the topic of shura and understand that it is something that Islam does not obligate upon the Khalifa to implement. Rather, it is a recommendation for the Khalifa to apply, and it is for the Ummah to have the right to speak their opinion on matters of practical application and things within the mubah, and is not an obligation and is not a core part of the system of the ruling structure of Islam. Rather, it is a recommended part that adds justice and it helps with the application. And the most important element of all is that it has nothing to do with the process of legislation in Islam, because we only refer to the Quran and Sunnah and not to the opinion of people when trying to determine the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah azza wa jalla open our hearts to add greater depth and clarity and give us wisdom and hikmah within this deen, and to understand that we are living in a time where there's a lot of cloudiness, where there's a lot of things that are influencing us and causing us to mix up ideas between Islamic ideas and Western ideas. So it's very important that we take time to slowly and gradually sift through all of this and come to a very clear understanding, a crystallized understanding of the application of Islam, so that we can resume the Islamic way of life. Barakallahu bikum, and inshallah we'll see you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.